If you would please this morning back to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in chapter number six, moving right along in our series of messages here out of the book of Ephesians on the armor of God. And I know we've looked at several different things. We want to continue. We're going to take our text this morning out of the latter part of verse number 17. For those that were in the service last week, of course, we talked about the helmet of salvation. And we'll go back over each one of these briefly this morning and come to the last one of the things that is available unto you and I as far as the armor of God's concerned. But I don't want you to forget about verse 18. And I realize that the Sunday school lesson this morning was had the emphasis on prayer and asking. I believe the key to having the armor of God, of course, is knowing Christ, but the key to keeping it and understanding it and using that which is available to us, I believe will have to come through prayer and supplication, as Paul writes here to this church. Now, we may deal with that in the next sermon concerning the armor of God, but today we want to look at the latter part of verse 17 and talk about the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word, of precious Word of God, if you're able, and certainly if you're not able, that's okay. I want to start reading again back in verse number 10. I know that we have read it and read it and read it as we have looked at certainly each thing that the Lord's placed upon our heart, which kind of broken these verses of Scripture down, but I pray that it will be a constant reminder to us as we do face the daily battles, and certainly that's what we kind of titled this series of sermons, of course, the spiritual warfare of the Christian, being prepared to face the daily battles, because we know the daily battles are certainly going to come. But I'm glad that we have some things available to us to help us in these daily battles and these struggles and the storms and all that come our way. I'm glad that we're not in this thing by ourselves. I'm glad that we have help available to each and every one of us here this morning. Verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. And then also I want to say this morning, I'm not certainly adding anything to the Word of God, but I believe also here the emphasis of in the way that it's written in our King James Bibles this morning, would simply be this as well, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's read verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Your presence once again to thank You, Father, for another day on this side of eternity. Father, to thank You for this Lord's Day and certainly for this opportunity and the privilege to be back in Your house this morning. Lord, I thank You for every individual, every family, God, that's made their way to the house of God this morning. And Father, now, Lord, we do pray, God, again, that You'd anoint this service with Your presence and with Your power. I thank You for the singing this morning. I thank You for the teaching of the Word of God. But Lord, now as I stand, God, I realize I stand in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. Father, I pray that God, You'd anoint me with fresh oil. Give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Father, I'd say those things that You placed upon my heart, Father, for this hour. Then, Lord, I pray as the preaching of the Word of God goes out, I pray that ears and hearts will be open, and receptive to that which you have for us in the service this morning. I pray for those that are saved. And Lord, in the midst of the battle, that Father, we'd have a greater understanding and a greater appreciation for the armor, Father, that's available to us this morning to stand. Father, in these sinful days, having done all that, just to stand and stand for you. Then, Lord, if there's someone here today, and Father, they've never trusted you as Savior, I pray this morning, God, that you would convict them and draw them. Help them the day they might see that the greatest need they have today is to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray remove every hindrance. I realize Satan would like to do anything that he can to hinder. But I pray this morning, give us liberty. And Father, may we allow the Word of God to speak to us and to be obedient as you move in our hearts today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, again, as we continue our study and our series of messages on the spiritual warfare of the Christian being prepared to face the daily battle, let us again consider taking the sword of the Spirit. Now, quickly this morning, again, we've got our soldier here, and man, he's been here for several weeks, and man, he's been ready and certainly prepared to go to battle. And I believe that's the way each of us need to be this morning as children of God. I realize we're going to get discouraged. I realize that we're going to doubt from time to time. I realize all things, a lot of things are going to come against us as far as in our Christian walk. But friend, we'll get along a lot better and we'll be able to stand in this evil day. And certainly again, with all the fiery darts and all the things that the enemy tries to throw at us, if we'll take the armor of God, then I truly believe we can stand certainly in this evil day and having done all to stand. We find as we've been studying now on this armor, we talk about the girdle or the belt of truth. And that's where we started because that's where the text brought us to. And that was the thing that held everything together. And certainly truth is that which will hold everything together. Then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness and that breastplate that covered the soldier. And we talked about, we've been talking about the Roman soldier. And I realize this period, time period, as far as the armor we're looking at today, as far as before you, is a little different. But certainly the idea is the same. That breastplate was to cover the heart and the vital organs. And as we said, certainly how Satan will try to attack our hearts, certainly in these days. And then we looked at the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we talked about the importance of the shoes as far as the soldier was concerned. Then we talked about that shield of faith. And I like what the scripture says, above all, taking the shield of faith. And certainly today, I'm glad that it's not dependent upon me and it's not dependent upon you. But aren't you glad that we got somebody that we can depend upon and look to that's able to help us in the midst of the battles? Above all, taking that shield of faith, just keep trusting God. And that's what Paul is saying here. And then we talked about last week to take the helmet of salvation. And we talked about three different mindsets pertaining to the way that we think in this day and hour, and certainly how we need to protect our minds. This morning, that brings us to the text now before us in the latter part of verse number 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All of the things that Paul has instructed concerning the armor of God to this point has been for protection and for defensive purposes. Today we want to consider the offensive resource that is available to the child of God against the enemy in the spiritual battles in which you and I will face. Jesus himself, when confronted with the enemy, Satan himself, used the statement, "It is written." And so this morning, we need certainly the sword of the Spirit. Now, this soldier, he has everything that he needs to go into battle. And this morning, he has his sword. Now, he would not want to go into battle. Now, if you remember last week when we talked about the helmet of salvation, the last thing that soldier would grab a hold of before he went into battle would be his helmet. But friend, before he grabbed his helmet, he would make sure that he had his sword. And his sword would be sharpened. His sword would be ready for the battle. And so we find now in the text before us that Paul here is instructing the church at Ephesus to take the spirit of the sword, which is the Word of God. Now I have with me this morning just a small replica here of something that would have been very familiar or very close to the type of sword that the Roman soldier would have used back in his day. Now when we think of a sword, we think of a great big long sword. Now we do also know that in that culture of that day that they had the javelins and there was some swords, but the main weapon of choice was a small sword, and I'll talk about this here in the message in just a little while, was a small sword that the soldier would use when he would go into battle. Friend, you don't want to go into battle without your sword. I'm telling you this morning, it would be like a serviceman, a man in the military or a lady in the military now, if they went into battle and didn't have their gun. Friend, I'll tell you what, it'd be dangerous. It's dangerous anyway. You want to make sure that you have an offensive weapon if you're going to go into battle. And so we find here now in the text, it talks about the sword of the Spirit. I want to give you a couple of verses of Scripture, and then I want to give you a few thoughts about the Roman soldier's sword this morning. Again, Jesus using the very statement, "It is written," when the enemy comes to him. Friend, when the enemy comes against you and I, and we take him to the sword of the Word of God, he cannot argue with the Word of God. He cannot defeat the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Word of God will stand for time and eternity. You can count on the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verses 12 and 13, you're probably familiar with them. I've used them throughout even preaching this series of messages, but I want to leave them with you again this morning. The Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick." That word "quick" means alive and powerful and sharper. Underline that in your heart and your mind. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse number 13, which we don't read very often, but goes right along with it. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight," speaking of God, "but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So aren't you glad that we have the living Word of God this morning that you and I can take as our sword of the Spirit to fight in these daily battles, these spiritual battles that come our way? Friend, if it were not for the Word of God, we'd all be in trouble this morning. For it was the Word of God that pierced my heart and brought me to the understanding that I needed a Savior. Thank God for the Word of God. It was the Word of God that not only pierced my heart, but it pointed me to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Boy, aren't you glad of that this morning? Hallelujah. Thank God for the living Word of God. Then it's the Word of God that gives me potential and gives you a potential today. Thank God to reach out. Hallelujah to the one that saved us and redeemed us today to give us direction and the things that we need for our life. And it gives us protection this morning. Thank God when the battles come against us. I'm telling you what, a soldier needs his sword. And I'm glad we have the sword in the living Word of God before us this morning. And it's available to everyone that will trust Christ as Savior today. I want to give you some things about the Roman soldier's sword. The swords, I'll give you three things about the sword. First of all, I want to talk about the sword's potential and power. Pertaining now again to the Word of God that we read in Hebrews chapter number 4, there verses 12 and 13, that it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You think about that. As sharp as those swords were, I'm glad we have a word from God today that's even sharper. See, I tell you what, this sword will penetrate the flesh. This sword will penetrate the flesh. But I'm glad, thank God, for a word from God that will penetrate the heart. Amen. Hallelujah, and bring us to the understanding of our need of Him and the direction for our life. But as I studied and I looked at the Roman soldier's sword, I want to give you these few thoughts, and we'll let you go. First of all, Again, that sword's potential and power. It was known, the Roman soldier's sword was known as a gladius. And in the hands of a skilled man. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. In the hands of a skilled man, it was a fearsome weapon. In fact, it became known as the sword that conquered the world. For the Roman soldier and for certainly that time period, and you know that, of course, the Romans controlled that part of the world at that particular time, the gladius, the Roman soldier's sword, was known as the sword that conquered the world. I'm glad we have a sword in the Word of God today that can still conquer the world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that this morning? You say, well, preacher, why are people not living different? And why are people not doing different? Friend, I will tell you, it's not the Word of God's fault, and it's not God's fault. It's simply because people won't receive the Word of God this morning, and then you and I as Christians this morning won't take the sword of the Word of God and share it with others and live it out before others. Listen, this Word of God this morning is the only thing that will change the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls, of our family, of our community, of our nation. I'm telling you, thank God, the Word of God still works. It's still just as powerful as it ever was. It still has just as much potential as it ever had to pierce the heart, thank God, of those around us and lead them to a saving knowledge of Christ, then to direct our lives, hallelujah, to help us in the midst of the battles. Aren't you glad, thank God, that the sword of the Word of God can and will still get the job done this morning? I found not only was it known as a fearsome weapon, in fact known as the sword that conquered the world, but also in its potential and power, it was sharpened on both sides to make it lethal against an unarmed or an armed foe. The point of the sword was sharpened, enabling it to pierce even to go through the armor. I'm telling you what, that Roman soldier's sword was ready for action. It was ready for business. It was the main weapon in the soldier's arsenal. Even though, as we said, he may have a javelin, he may have other things. This was his go-to weapon when he was going to face the enemy. What is our go-to weapon this morning when we face the enemy? It has to be the Spirit of the Word of God, the sword of the Word of God. Because, friend, you and I cannot battle him within ourselves. Friend, the only thing that's going to work against the enemy this morning is the Word of God. You want to know why? Because he, as we talked about last week from the book of James, he even believes and trembles, hallelujah, because he knows there's a true and a living God. And he knows that he's already been doomed and destined, hallelujah, to an eternity away from God. I'm telling you today, thank God this morning for the living Word of God. Everything that I know about God, I have caught God from the Word of the living God. I'm telling you this morning, friend, I'm glad that we have this Word available unto you and I today. Not only was it fearsome, and not only was it sharpened and a main weapon in the soldier's arsenal, that's the potential and the power of the Roman sword. But secondly, this morning, I want you to think about this, the preparation with a sword. The preparation. Now, they just didn't call these boys into the army and throw them a sword and say, you go to battle. I'm afraid a lot of times that's what we do in the Baptist church. We see them saved and we baptize them and they join the church and we throw them a sword and say, just go at it, do the best that you can. What I found out about studying about the Roman soldier and the use of his sword, I found that certainly in that preparation and training, the Roman soldier could not be sent into battle. He could not be sent into battle without having extensive training in the use of the gladius or the sword. In other words, I found as I was studying, he would have to go through a long process of training before they would even send him into the battle. Matter of fact, it said that they would make replicas out of wood, and of course wood being heavier even than the metal gladius that they carried, and they would make that thing heavy, and they would practice, and they would practice, and they would practice, until they would get skillful with using that sword. So I'm telling you, they were very skillful in using their sword. Could I ask us a question this morning as the children of God? How skillful are we in using the Word of God, the Spirit of the Word of God, the sword of the Word of God that's available to us this morning? Friend, it's going to take more than just a casual knowledge. Amen, preacher. It's going to take more than just a casual knowledge of the Word of God to be able to stand in the midst of the battle, stand in the evil days, and having done all to stand and stand, thank God, and fight in the battles that come our way against the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Friend, there's a battle going on. And I'll tell you what, just a general knowledge of the Word. Listen, it's good to start out with a general knowledge of the Word of God. We all got to start somewhere. The Bible teaches us about being on the milk of the Word of God. But somewhere you got to get on the meat. Somewhere you got to grow. Somewhere you got to get a hold of more than just a general knowledge of the Word of God. If you and I are going to stand, thank God, in these evil days, and stand the way God would have us to, and stand and let the world know there's a Savior that loved Him and died for Him and a Redeemer this morning. There's one that's worthy of worshiping. There's one worthy of serving. There's one worthy of standing for. Hallelujah, this morning. You're going to have to get it more than just in your head. You're going to have to get it down in your heart. Hallelujah. And take the sword of the Word of God and stand and be all that God would have us to be. We have to be trained. See, people don't want training anymore. Amen. Preacher, don't you tell me how I need to live. Amen. Don't you tell me I need to be faithful. Don't you tell me I need to have my family faithful. Don't tell me I need to be in Sunday school. Amen. I know y'all about dead this morning, but that's all right. I'm going to preach anyhow. There ain't no really need for me to come to Sunday school. No reason for me to bring little Johnny and little Susie to Sunday school. Well, friend, I'll tell you what. Thank God if you don't get them in here and you don't get in their hearts and their heads the Word of God, and when they face the battles and when the storms come, they're going to tuck tail and run. And nowhere in this Bible, hallelujah, nowhere in this text does God put anything on us to protect our backs. Why? Because this is a forward battle. Praise God, we need to grab our sword of the Word of God and we need to move forward. Oh yes, the battles will come. Oh yes, they'll get hot. Oh yes, they'll get difficult. But friend, you and I can stand on the Word of God. Why? Because the sword of the Word of God will stand when the world's on fire. Hallelujah. You need to be faithful. There needs to be more than just a Sunday morning casual religion. Thank God there needs to be a relationship. We need to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in us, so when the battles come and when the difficulties come, we got something to turn to that'll help us in the midst of that battle. Friend, what is it? What is it? It's the living Word of God this morning. It's going to take more than just a casual knowledge. It's going to take more than just being a casual member. Amen, preacher. People casually come in, casually go out. Then the storms come, they don't know what to go to do. The battles come, they don't know what to go to do. Little Johnny's in trouble. Little Sally's in trouble. Then got back out in the world. Amen, preacher. You need more than just a general knowledge. You need to know how to use the sword. Preacher, I know how to use a sword. Well, I feel like if the Roman soldiers had to have extensive training, and they would not turn them loose into battle till they had that training, until they had proven themselves. See, people want to have positions and parts in the church when they hadn't proven themselves. Amen, preacher. And I'll tell you what, that's the first one the devil's going to absolutely run through the mill. Oh, yes. He's going to run through the mill, and then they're going to tuck tail and run. Why? Because they hadn't learned how to use the sword. Now, a lot of people won't try to use the sword in their own way. They'll pull a little scripture here and pull a little scripture there and take it out of the context of what God was saying within His Word. And the first thing you know, they're confused. They've got everybody around them confused. When the Roman soldier went to battle, he was ready to go to battle. There wasn't no playing around. A lot of people just playing around. They're playing this thing called Christianity. And then they hope at the end of it, everything's just going to be great and grand, and they're just going to walk right into heaven and say, God, I'm here, and I know that You're glad I'm here. Friend, it don't work that way. Amen. It does not work that way this morning. I'll tell you what, God's got a way. His way is right. His way this morning will help you and I go in the right direction. But friend, when we try to go our own way, when we try to do our own thing, I can promise you this morning, we're going to end up in trouble somewhere. It's not what I can do anyhow. It's what He can do. I can preach to you and I'm blue in the face. But if the Spirit of God doesn't touch that and doesn't touch your heart, then, friend, I'll tell you what, it'll never do you no good. But, oh, I'm glad, thank God, the Word of God, well, again, not only it don't penetrate the flesh, I'm glad it penetrates the heart and the soul of an individual and will give us what we need. Thank God if we'll yield ourselves to the Word of God. Think about this training, this preparation. The Roman soldier could not be sent into battle without having extensive training in the use of the gladius. If you go to Hebrews chapter number 5, verses 12 through 14, I'm going to read those to you quickly this morning. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. You can mark it and read it later. Hebrews chapter number 5, verses 12 through 14. The Bible says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." What's God saying? God's saying that we need to have the milk, but thank God we need to get to the meat of the Word of God. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We need more than just a general knowledge of the Word of God. If you're going to stand in the evil day and haven't done all to stand, there's got to be preparation. Do you spend any time in study and meditation of the Word of God? How we need training and teaching to prepare us for the battle. Not only to be able to prepare ourselves, but we need to be able to prepare those around us. We need to be able to prepare children and our grandchildren. We need to be able to prepare those within the church, the body of Christ, to take the sword of the Word of God and to stand in this evil day. If we just show up once in a while, then we're not going to get much teaching and training. Years ago, they used to have what they called discipleship classes. Some of you might have attended some of those discipleship classes. Well, we don't talk about that much anymore. We don't talk about discipling much anymore. And I'm afraid that's where we have failed. As a church, course, you can't get people to show up half the time. It's going to be hard to get more than just a general knowledge of the Word of God if there's no preparation. What has God called us to do? He's called us to be salt, and He's called us to be light. How in the world are we going to do that when we don't know very much about His Word? Oh, my. There's potential and power in the Word, but there has to be preparation in the Word. You got to know how to use the sword. Thirdly, this morning. Now, we said that basically everything that we had talked about thus far in the armor of God was for protection and defensive reasons. And the sword was used as an offensive weapon, and it is. But also it was used as a defensive weapon as well. The Roman soldier would use his gladius, or what we would call a sword. It was valuable for defense, used to deflect attacks by an opponent. Just imagine an opponent coming against you, and he's got a sword pretty much like you've got. You can throw it up to deflect and protect yourself. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but that enemy is always coming against me, throwing up something, throwing out something, throwing those fiery darts. And if I'm not careful, I'll let it get past the sword. I'll let it get through the shield of faith. I'll let it get through the breastplate of righteousness. I'll allow it to penetrate my heart and discourage me, cause doubt in my life, and all the things that I don't need. That's what the enemy will do. But friend, when you put up the sword, when you take him to the Word of God, listen, the living Word of God, I'm glad this morning, thank God, even He knows, hallelujah, the Word of God this morning, and knows that it will stand and knows that it's powerful. Take him back to the Word of God. And friend, the enemy will have to flee, thank God, from the sword of the Word of God this morning. Three things concerning the sword's protection. Number one, it will help you and I stay in the battle. Preacher, after all this preaching on this battle that you're talking about, I just don't know if I want to sign up or not. Well, friend, if you've been to Calvary, you got signed up. And thank God I did. Hallelujah. I'm glad this Sunday morning, thank God I made my way to Calvary. God not only put me in the family of God, but God put me in the army of God. And I'm glad, thank God, to stand here this morning as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in his writing, especially to Timothy, talked about the warfare. He talked about the soldier. And friend, I'm glad, thank God, to be in the army. I'd rather be in the army of God this morning than any army I know. Listen, I love the United States of America. As I've said many times, I appreciate all those that are serving in our armed services. But boy, I'm sure glad, thank God, for those that are in the army of God, and they've got their sword, hallelujah, drawn, and they've got their sword ready, and they're standing in the battle, and they're teaching, and they're preaching, and they're living out the Word of God through their lives this morning. Thank God for the soldier, hallelujah, that'll get his sword and stay in the battle, hallelujah. Some of you are afraid I'm going to let it go. That soldier, I didn't tell you this, but those soldiers, even if they were left-handed, they would tie one hand and make them get used to using that sword right-handed, because they would go into battle standing side by side, carrying their sword, hallelujah, working together for the cause of their country. You and I need to stand together in the cause of Christ. And take our sword and stay in the battle. I see too many people laying down their sword and getting out of the battle. And friend, one day we'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the captain of our salvation. Boy, I tell you what, I want to stand as a faithful soldier of the Word of God. In His protection, not only would it help him stay in the battle, but I thought about this. It would help him stand in the battle. I don't have to stand on my own ideas or my own ideology or my own doctrine. I'm glad I have a Word of God to stand upon, and a Word of God that will stand when nothing else will. The soldier loses his sword or lays down his sword, he's not going to stay in the battle. He's going to tuck tail and run. After all of his training, after all that he's done, if he lays that sword down, he better tuck tail and run, because you know what's going to happen? He's going to die. Oh, this is good right here. You know what's happened to some people? They've died spiritually. Thank you, Lord. So many people have, in a sense, died. They're saved. They're still in the army. But they've laid their sword down. And in a sense, they have died spiritually. Why? Because you can't live without the sword. You can't stay in the battle without the sword. And you know what the enemy tries to do? He tries to do everything he can to discredit the sword. But see, that soldier knows that thing's sharp. That thing, he's been trained and he's ready for battle. So why not just stay in the battle? Friend, I'm telling you this morning, hallelujah, you ought to just stay in the battle. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's going to be worth it all, hallelujah, when we see the captain of our salvation. Stay in the battle. Not only would it help him stay in the battle, but help him, as we said, stand. What does Paul say out through this text time and time again? Having done all to stand. Well, you can stand as long as you got a sword. How many in here this morning has got a sword? Well, I see a lot of you can. We may have to go buy some Bibles after today. Why don't you just hold your sword up? But the devil will notice this morning that you've got a sword, and that sword is sharp, and that sword's going to help you stand in the midst of the battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only to stay in the battle, but to stand in the battle. And then thirdly, the sword's going to help you survive the battle. Survive the battle. I've already said this morning, nothing defeats the enemy but the sword of the Word of God. Why? Because you can't do it in your own reasoning, you can't do it in your own thinking, you can't do it in your own knowledge. Help you stay in the battle, help you stand in the battle, but it'll help you survive in the battle. Now, if you go into the battle without a sword, again, you're just not going to survive. You're not going to make it. Why, when they're throwing all kinds of things at you, I can promise you they're going to take you. Why? Because that is the name of the game in battle. Do you understand that? The name of the game of the battle is to take you out. And Peter said something like, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. You know why so many people are walking around today looking defeated, got their head in the sand? Not doing anything for God? Not worried about doing anything for God? Listen, we ought to get to the place we want to do something for God. Many people today, I'm afraid, have laid down their sword. And I've been to those places to where I just didn't know where I was going to survive in the battle or not. You ever been there? Oh, I just didn't know where I was going to survive in the battle. But aren't you glad in the midst of that battle when you remember that you had a sword, that you had a word from God, that you had something that you could go to and draw from, something that would help defeat the enemy as he come against you? I'm glad, thank God, you could pick up your sword of the word of God and keep going and keep going and keep going. Hallelujah, standing in the battle. Why? Because you're going to survive and you're going to win, thank God, through the word of God. It was known as the most fearsome weapon of its day. Again, it was known as the sword, that conquered the world. This same book today will conquer the world that you and I face each and every day if we'll stay in the Word of God. I told you those soldiers would be trained right-handed, whether it was left-handed or not. They would train them right-handed so they could fight together. They would always carry the sword on their right side, so that when they got into battle, they pulled it out and went out to battle together. We'll give you a couple more verses of Scripture and I'm done. There's the power and the potential. There's the preparation. Then there's the protection of the sword. Psalms 119, 103, and 104. The psalmist said this: How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yet sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know what this sword will do? It'll equip us. It'll protect us. It'll help us in the midst of the battle. I'm glad so many times in my own personal life that when the enemy has come against me, that God has given me a word. It wasn't man's philosophy. Wasn't man's way of thinking. It was a sword that was powerful enough to defeat that enemy. There's potential in the sword that you have in your hands today. Great potential. And there's potential within you. When you have the sword in your hand, when you have the sword in your heart, when you have the sword in your mind. But you got to have more than just a general knowledge. You got to get in this book and let this book get in you. So when that enemy comes, you got a word that you can take him to. Matter of fact, I've read the back of this book. In the book of the Revelation, it talks about there even Jesus, a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And him defeating all the nations of the world. What's he talking? Is he talking about a literal sword coming out of his mouth? No, he is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. At his word, every enemy will be defeated. Hallelujah. Thank God for my sword. I appreciate the use of this sword this morning. But I'm glad I've got a sword right here that'll help me in the midst of the battle. But I've got to know something about how to use it. It's so sad today that so many people that say they're saved don't have enough knowledge of the Word of God to point somebody to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but how many of you here today that are saved have enough knowledge? If somebody was to come up to you and say, could you help me? And understanding how to be saved. Do you know enough of the Word of God to point them to the Lamb of God? Do you know enough today when the battle comes, when it gets extensive, when it gets rough, do you know enough of the Word of God to take the enemy to the Word of God and say, enemy, right here is what God said. And boy, you get right there, and I'll tell you what, it won't be long till you'll have rejoicing. You'll have peace and you'll have victory You don't have to live in as a victim. You can live as a victor, but only through the Word of God. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then friend, the first thing you need to do is you need to be saved. Come to Him. The very Word of God that pierced my heart will pierce your heart and change your life. But as Christians this morning, how we need to take the Word of God and use it in our everyday life. It's more than just a word on Sunday. It needs to become our life. How I live and how you live needs to be dictated from this book. In preaching, sometimes you think you can preach and people finally, they're just going to start living right. Going to start doing right. Well, friend, it don't happen until they allow the Word of God to penetrate their heart. It's got to get in their heart. And if it ever gets in their heart, you don't have to tell them. They'll just want to do it. They'll just want to do it. But that word has to penetrate. And I'm glad it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Where do you stand? How do you stand? Where do you stand in the battle? How do you stand in the battle? Are you surviving in the battle or are you surrendering to the battle? You got your sword, you ready to go? Or have you laid your sword down? Oh, how this morning we need to take the sword of the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, and stand in these evil days. You know what? God's looking for some people to stand. The Bible says the battle is the Lord's. When it all comes right down to it, it's all His anyhow. He's just looking for some people to stand. I wonder today, will we be that people that'll stand? We're going to stand. We've got to know something about how to use the sword. We've got to know how to use the sword. It's not my ideas. It's not yours. It's God's Word that'll get the job done. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scott, if you come, get us a song. Father, sure do love you today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for this opportunity, this privilege to be back in your house this morning. Thank you for each one that made their way out to the house of God. I pray this morning, God, that through the Word of God, that, Lord, you just speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm glad your Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, sharper than that Roman soldier's sword. I'm glad it'll do the work that I cannot do. It'll go the places I cannot go. It'll accomplish the things that I cannot accomplish. But, Lord, I need to have more than just a general knowledge. I need to have a working knowledge of the Word of God. And I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you'd help this congregation, that we'd know enough of the Word of God today that we could stand, that we could stand in the battle, and survive in the battle. Help us so we not lay our sword down. But, Lord, we just keep moving forward for the glory of God. I pray for someone here today, and they've never trusted you as their Savior. I pray today help them to see and realize. I pray you'd penetrate their heart and bring them to the understanding that they have a need of Christ. And then I pray that you again would help us as Christians to do everything that we can to stand. Help us today, Lord. Help us to be good disciples. And have good discipleship in teaching and training others that they could too stand in the battle which we face. Thank you again for Calvary and all that you've done. I commit the invitation to your hands. You do what I cannot do. And Lord, I'll thank you and praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. As we sing together.